Look at it this way. Only 11% of the millionaires indicated that having excellent investment advisors was a very important factor that accounted for their financial success. In sharp contrast, 35% of the millionaires believed that making wise investments was a very important factor. That is more than three times as many than those who gave credit to advisors. Why so little credit to stock advisors? Although the majority of millionaires have an account with at least one full-service brokerage firm, most make their own investment decisions. Millionaires ignore or at least discount many of the suggestions generated by stockbrokers. In interviews, they tell me that stockbrokers are experts at selling, and if they spend most of their time selling, that leaves little time left to study investment opportunities. As one respondent told me, if the stockbrokers could predict the future, they would never keep on being stockbrokers. They can't predict. They make money selling. But more than just the opinions of millionaires are important here. The acid test is this. Given the same levels of income within the same age group, who accumulates more wealth? Would you guess stockbrokers? After all, they are touted to be investment experts. In a recent survey of affluent people throughout America, 121 stockbrokers completed questionnaires. These respondents reported having annual incomes from the low six figures to well over $1 million. How do they compare with business owners and entrepreneurs, senior corporate executives, attorneys, and physicians who had similar incomes? In my comparison, both income and age were taken into account when making these comparisons. The older participants are expected to have accumulated more wealth. On average, age is a significant correlate of wealth. Income is also a significant correlate of net worth. For this particular data set, the equation that was used to determine the expected net worth for each respondent is as follows. Expected net worth equals age times 0.112 times income. In other words, Mr. Edison, a business owner who is 50 years of age and has a total annual realized household income of $340,000, is expected to have a net worth of $1,904,000. Mr. Smythe, who is 45 years of age with an income of $155,000, is expected to be worth $781,200. What if Mr. Edison actually has a net worth of at least twice the expected value? Then he would be in what I call the balance sheet affluent category, the BA category. If, on the other hand, Mr. Smythe had a net worth of one-half the expected value or less, he would be categorized as income statement affluent, IA. This means that Mr. Smythe has a low level of real wealth given his age and income. Nearly 4 in 5 business owners, 77.7%, had actual net worths that exceeded the expected levels. Only 1 in 3 stockbrokers, 34.4%, had net worths that exceeded expected levels. This means that for every one stockbroker who exceeded the norm, there were 2.3 business owners who exceeded it. It's even more telling to compare these two high-income producing groups in terms of the balance sheet affluent, BA, criterion. BAs are those in the top quarter of wealth builders. That is, they are the best at building net worth compared to their income and age groups. In my survey, respondents who had net worths at least twice the expected level are designated balance sheet affluent, BA. Nearly one-half the business owners, 46.3%, were balance sheet affluent, while only 13.6% of the stockbrokers were in this category. In sharp contrast, 27% of the stockbrokers were found to be in the income statement category. But only about 7% of the business owners were designated as income statement affluent. Finally, consider the ratio of BAs to IAs for the two groups. For every business owner in the IA group, bottom quarter of net worth, there are 6.6 in the BA group, top quarter. In contrast, for every two stockbrokers in the IA group, there is only one in the BA group. Could it be that many of those who aggressively sell stocks and related investments don't follow their own recommendations? If they did, one might expect to find more stockbrokers in the BA group. But stockbrokers made up a disproportionately high percentage of those who have big incomes, yet relatively small levels of wealth. There are some outstanding stockbrokers who are balance sheet affluent types. They are not only wise about investing, they are also wise about how they spend their hard-earned money. A case study of a BA versus an IA. To illustrate my points, consider the following two cases. Both of these respondents are excellent examples of their respective orientations. One I will call Mr. Ward, the BA. The other is a high-income producing stockbroker, Mr. Rogers. Mr. Ward is a business owner with a net worth in the mid-eight-figure range. He owns and manages a very successful recycling business. He lives in a home valued at well over $1 million. He purchased it more than 20 years ago for a bit over $200,000, and there is no outstanding mortgage. How does Mr. Ward account for his economic success? Factors that he rates as being very important include investing in my own business, willing to take financial risk given the right return, and finding a profitable niche. Mr. Ward rates as not important investing in the equities of public corporations and having excellent investment advisors. Mr. Ward thinks that investing in public corporations is a way to inventory his profits from recycling, but he doesn't view the stock market as the seed of his economic success. He has about 30% of his wealth invested in publicly traded stock, and his stock holdings have appreciated, but he feels that the core of his wealth is his private corporation. The stock market is just a place to put profits from that core investment. Mr. Ward doesn't take advice from stockbrokers, not even Mr. Rogers, who purchased a $2 million home near him 3 years ago. Unlike Mr. Ward, he has an outstanding mortgage balance in excess of $1 million, and there are other differences. Mr. Ward has a net worth that is 5 times the expected level given his age and income characteristics, while Mr. Rogers has a net worth that is only 34% of what is expected, given his age and income parameters. Yet Mr. Rogers has convinced himself that he is wealthy. In his mind, one factor stands out from all the rest as being very important: having the ability to sell my ideas, products, and the like. At the same time, Mr. Rogers discounts the importance of what he sells in accounting for his economic success. He claims to sell advice as well as stocks. But guess what factors he did not rate as important in explaining his economic success? 1. Investing in the equities of public corporations. 2. Having excellent financial advisors. Could it be that Mr. Rogers believes wealth is a function of selling more than investing?